I like to imagine there were more of us in the beginning. Not many, I suppose, but more than there are now. We are the minority the world does not accept. Not outside of fantasy, and even that's blacklisted. We look like everyone else. Sometimes we act like everyone else. In many ways, we are like everyone else. We are everywhere, on every street. We live in a way you might consider normal, provided you don't look too hard. Not all of us know what we are. Some of us die without ever knowing. Some of us know and we never get caught. But we're out there. Trust me. I had lived in that part of London that used to be called Islington since I was 8. I attended a private school for girls, leaving at 16 to work. That was in the year 2056. AS127 if you use the Sion calendar. It was expected of young men and women to scratch out a living wherever they could, which was usually behind a counter of one sort or another. There were plenty of jobs in the service industry. My father thought I would lead a simple life, that I was bright but unambitious, complacent with whatever work life threw at me. My father, as usual, was wrong. From the age of 16, I had worked in the criminal underworld of Sion London, Silo, as we called it on the streets. I worked among ruthless gangs of voyants, all willing to floor each other to survive. All part of a citadel-wide syndicate headed by the underlord. Pushed to the edge of society, we were forced into crime to prosper. And so we became more hated. We made the stories true. I had my little place in the chaos. I was a molisher, the protege of a mime lord. My boss was a man named Jackson Hall, the mime lord responsible for the I-4 area. There were 6 of us in his direct employ. We called ourselves the Seven Seals. I couldn't tell my father. He thought I was an assistant at an oxygen bar, a badly paid but legal occupation. It was an easy lie. He wouldn't have understood if I'd told him why I spent my time with criminals. He didn't know that I belonged with him, more than I belonged with him. I was 19 years old the day my life changed. Mine was a familiar name in the streets by that time. After a tough week at the black market, I'd planned to spend the weekend with my father. Jax didn't twig why I needed time off. For him, there was nothing worth our salt outside the syndicate. But he didn't have a family like I did. Not a living family, anyway. And although my father and I had never been close, I still felt I should keep in touch. A dinner here, a phone call there, a present at Novembertide. The only hitch was his endless list of questions. What job did I have? Who were my friends? Where was I living? I couldn't answer. The truth was dangerous. He might have sent me to Tower Hill himself if he'd known what I really did. Maybe I should have told him the truth. Maybe it would have killed him. Either way, I didn't regret joining the syndicate. My line of work was dishonest, but it paid. And as Jax always said, better an outlaw than a stiff. It was raining that day, my last day at work. A life support machine kept my vitals ticking over. I looked dead, and in a way I was. My spirit was detached in part from my body. It was a crime for which I could have faced the gallows. I said I worked in the syndicate. Let me clarify. I was a hacker of sorts. Not a mind reader, exactly. More a mind radar, in tune with the workings of the ether. I could sense the nuances of dreamscapes and rogue spirits. Things outside myself. Things the average voyant wouldn't feel. Jax used me as a surveillance tool. My job was to keep track of ethereal activity in his section. He would often have me check out other voyants, see if they were hiding anything. At first, it had just been people in the room, people I could see and hear and touch. But soon he realized I could go further than that. I could sense things happening elsewhere. A voyant walking down the street, a gathering of spirits in the garden. So long as I had life support, I could pick up in the ether within a mile radius of 7 dials. So if he needed someone to dish the dirt on what was happening in I-4, you could bet your broads Jackson would call yours truly. He said I had potential to go further, but Nick refused to let me try. We didn't know what it would do to me.